All right. Welcome back to Unfair Advantage mini podcast episode 2. I am Dr. Alex Auerbach. I'm a sports psychologist here with Cody Royal, head coach and coach of coaches. And we're here today to talk a little bit about the question we left off with at the end of our last discussion, which is locker room intelligence a thing? So Cody, I know you sort of pitched this to me a little while ago. So let's start with you. Is locker room intelligence in fact a thing?
G'day, Alex. Love these episodes that we're doing. Love getting to bandy around questions like this. This is one that you and I have been flipping back and forward for months now. And so, looking forward to unpacking it in a little bit more detail. Let me back up a little bit. So let's just look at kind of social intelligence first, because I think, you know, again, like social learning is the human superpower, right? And so when we take it out of the sporting context and just look at it from an evolutionary biology perspective, you know, the argument right now is the brain's at its current size because of the need to interpret, you know, group interactions and social interactions. And so, you know, when you look at it in that context, it points to there being some sort of group energy, collective energy that requires interpretation. And so, you know, I think we have a finely tuned awareness for groups and teams that is inherent within human beings. And so, you know, even if we look at some of like Tasha Urich's work around self-awareness, part of that is collective awareness, as far as she argues it. And so, you know, part of that same umbrella. And then what I found really interesting in talking to Tasha was that they didn't find a clear link between the two. So you can actually be high on collective awareness and low on self-awareness, which again kind of points to this idea that there's a different energy that can be interpreted both internally and externally. And so my answer is yes. I think from an evolutionary perspective, I think it's undeniable that there's some sort of collective energy and awareness that is readable and interpretable. And then I think for a head coach in that locker room environment, I actually think this is an unfair advantage. I think the top coaches work on this and have a finer attunement to this.
Okay. So I want to pause you there because there are a couple directions that I think I want to take this with you. So I know, like you said, we've been thinking about this a lot over the last few months, and I know you've explored this with some other people. So I'm curious what the feedback you've gotten from other people about this idea is. You know, do people generally agree? Do they disagree? You know, where do they think you're nailing it? And where do they feel like you're missing something? And then the second piece is where you ended, which is what about this is an unfair advantage?
Yeah. So I mean, the unfortunate thing is there isn't a lot of research into this because just the scientific method struggles at this size and dynamism, right? To strip out exactly what you're talking about. But then, yeah, interestingly, you know, I went to Gary Klein about this. So, you know, kind of the person that is held up as, you know, intuitive thinking and gut feel. And he tended to think that this wasn't a thing and that we're actually describing something else or some other skill. And so, you know, from that side, there's been a little bit of pushback. But interestingly, anecdotally, when you put this in front of coaches, they'll all talk about the same thing. And so there's a little bit of this disparity in terms of anecdotally, coaches are saying yes, and I've felt it and I've been in those rooms and there's something going on in there, but we haven't been able to tease out what it looks scientifically. So one example stands out to me, and that was in a podcast with Maurizio Pochettino, who at the time he just left Tottenham Hotspur, and the question was about what he does if he arrives at the training ground and the energy is off in the group. And he you know, he goes around and shakes hands with people and just feels that there's something wrong with the group. The mood is low or whatever it may be. And he says, well, if that's the feeling that I get, we change something. Mm-hmm. And so That's what I mean in terms of it being an unfair advantage, is that there's a catalyst for change in terms of what's delivered from a coaching perspective when this energy is read and interpreted in the correct way, and change the program changes around it. And so it's a key data input into that program change that I think can be a real separator.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And I remember when you first pitched this to me and I started thinking about it a little bit more, I mean, it caught me off guard. But then, you know, similarly to the anecdotal stories you're sharing, I could think of plenty of coaches who I've worked with who would say, like, oh, I have a sense of what's up with the team, you know, and you're like, that's interesting. You know, where did that come from? And you want to sort of unpack that a little bit. And so, you know, I know when we first started talking about it, I tried to go really heavy scientific and was starting to think about, you know, what would this connect with? And at one point I was thinking about theory of mind and, you know, at some other points, some other sort of social dynamics. And then what I landed on most recently that has sort of intrigued me is, you know, this reminds me a lot of what a therapist does when they're running a group.
Yeah.
And so it becomes a sort of thing, which is like, you know, I think to back up a step briefly, like I agree with you that this is something that people believe that they perceive. And then ultimately, you know, that drives what they do, like in this story you just shared with Mauricio. And so I think it almost doesn't matter so much about whether or not it really is a thing. There's this sort of inner subjective piece of this, which is, you know, we can agree that something is here, even if we can't distill it to the essence of what that thing is. I'm not so concerned with what the essence is. I'm more concerned with the fact that we collectively are experiencing something. And say for someone like myself, as a therapist running a group, that's going to guide what I do. And so I think of all these parallels from the group therapy research that I could see matching this, you know. So it's things like, you know, instilling hope in the group, right? So if you as the head coach feel like the vibe is bad or the energy is bad after, say, a loss, right? There's a time where you might instill hope to get the team to move forward, right? It might be that players are misunderstanding what you're sharing. And as a therapist, you might think about that as imparting information, right? Whereas same thing a coach would do. And so I think it's kind of an interesting thing to unpack. But as far as I know, there isn't any group therapy research either that really says there's some essence here that exists that we need to hit on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And thanks for pointing the group therapy stuff out to me as well. I've really enjoyed reading through that, and I see the same parallels that you do. And yeah, from a coaching perspective, you know, the way I've been framing it, like, you know, sending out kind of provocative tweets and things is like, how does an NFL head coach walk into a locker room, 53 players, and get a gauge for the collective mood, you know, at halftime?
Mm-hmm.
And what are the progressions of that, right? And so it could be that half the team are feeling optimistic about the second half. It could be that half the team are feeling pessimistic about the result. And then half of that half are also concerned about their personal performance, which sure. could lead on to I'm going to be cut on Monday. And so now there's fear. And so mm-hmm. so then what does the coach do? So like, what is the, when you have to stand up, because our job is to deliver one to many, more than, you know, one to one or one to few.
Sure.
There's a one to many message that needs to go out to the collective to say, here's what I think, and here's how we can achieve our objectives in this next half of the game. Yeah. And so what message are you going to clue in on?
Well, that's a really good question. And you know what it makes me think of? I've never thought about this before, but like in the scenario you're describing where half the team is feeling one thing, half is feeling another thing, and then half of that half is very sort of self-reference or self-focused. Like, would there ever be an instance as a coach where you would address the group separately?
Yeah, definitely.
But I mean, it's easy to say, right? But I don't know that I've ever seen anyone do that. Have you?
I haven't. I mean, in those instances, right? Like, obviously, they have position groups, and so there's also a read there. And so, you're talking about a bunch of progressions, but then your call is breaking this group up actually going to be more of a distraction because it's something new that's being introduced at halftime because of these reads that all of these players for their whole careers and all of their coaching has been, there is a halftime speech by the head coach and me doing this right now, is that going to be more of a hindrance or is it actually going to help? And so there's your read right there. And this is what I mean. Like there has to be this intuitive feel, or maybe it's skill. I don't know. Like, what do you think about this as a skill, if we move it into that category?
Sure. Well, I think, I mean, I hear the concern, I guess, from the splitting the group up. And it also then points me to kind of like the charismatic leadership research, which is about, you know, individualized attention can sometimes really be what people need. And so is there something that's sort of lost without taking that risk of moving into groups? But then, you know, there's also something lost if you do that. So it's just kind of interesting to think about. But in terms of the...
Put your hand up. Put your hand up if you think you're going to be cut on Monday. You guys go over into that corner. If you're Tom Brady and all the A players, you guys go over to that corner and we'll address you separately.
Well, it may not be so black and white, right? It may be the kind of thing where if you perceive that, there's strategic ways you can do this, right? You can talk to everyone individually. Yeah, you know, but it's just kind of an interesting... You know, and half times are obviously like constricted in terms of time, but it's just an interesting thing to think about. Like, what would happen if, you know, as a coach, instead of addressing the group, you just addressed everyone individually, right? So that's 53 players on a football team. It's pretty hard to do, but say on a basketball team, that's 16 players, right? Or a soccer team, it's now 20 to 25 players. And so there are ways that it's more manageable. But even in the position group meetings that you're describing, having been in some of those spaces, like there is some individualized attention for the players who are out there competing most of the snaps, but there's not necessarily that individualized attention for the rest of the group. So it's just an interesting dynamic to think about. I'm not saying I have an answer here. I'm just playing with it. But in terms of the skill question, I personally believe that's a skill. You know, I personally believe there's something to be said for being attuned to other people, and that is something you can learn how to do. And it comes with learning to read other people's sort of responses and observe behavior, which I think is a skill. It comes with being able to listen to yourself and interpret your own, you know, physiology and thinking and feeling in sort of a constructive way. I think those are all things that can be learned and developed. I mean, I certainly, as a therapist myself, like having done groups, I can look back and think about the skills I developed as I progressed as a group therapist, whether that was, you know, timing around a particular intervention, or the ability to sort of manage my own internal dialogue, discomfort, whatever it might be, while the group is sort of festering. So I do think there's something there to be developed. But again, I'm not sure I could tell you what the essence of that skill is as much as I can break it into these sort of component parts that I think coaches could learn and act on. What do you think? I mean, what's your take?
I agree. I think it definitely is a skill. And, you know, most coaches will probably acquire it like any other form of mastery, in that it takes a whole range of different avenues. So education, you know, a comprehension of all the different facets of their job as a head coach. And again, that is different from an assistant coach. So your reads are going to be different on things like energy when it's 53 players instead of your position group. Right. And so that changes the dynamic, plus all the other stressors that you have as a head coach, which impact your ability to read yourself, let alone others. You know, and so, yeah, I definitely concur that, you know, if you follow kind of that typical skill development idea, I think you see all of the same key markers along the way for something like intuition, which again, people think of as kind of airy fairy, but you know, I think I've seen it happen so much that I would treat it more like a hard kind of skill rather than this sure. floating, you know, cosmic dust kind of idea.
Well, Cody, this has been, I think, a pretty dynamic discussion. So my vote is going to be that we return to this in a couple of months after we've both thought about it a little bit more. But I think in thinking ahead to the next time we get together, I'm wondering if the theme we should spend some time on is the idea of self-awareness. I mean, that's come up a bunch here at the end. And I know you've done some interviews and some research on that in the past. And I think getting your perspective as a coach on the importance of self-awareness. And I think we could connect it back to this idea, but we could connect it to some other pieces of the work we're trying to do too. I think that would be a pretty interesting place to go next.
The hottest topic in coaching by far. So let's do it.
Love it.